This is The Boop Show, some gaming news you can use for July 29th, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson. June, not July. Such a hurry. It's not freaking July yet. It's June 29th. I wrote it down wrong. July 29th will be, I think we'll be up at Snowbird for Nerdtacular 2015. Ooh, who's coming? Are you guys coming? I'm going. I think I'm going to be there. So what's going on? How are you? How are you? How am I? How is everyone? We're all good. We're all good here. Batman remains awesome for me. No issues on PC still, even with the new patch, which we'll talk about in the news. That didn't really add much to my experience in terms of, I mean, I wasn't having any real problems per se, although I guess I didn't have rain dripping down my suit, which is something they somehow left out. It's back in with this patch, so now I can see rain dripping down my cowl and my shoulders and stuff, which is kind of cool, I guess. But yeah, still doing great. I'm probably a quarter through the game is all. I have friends who are already done. I don't have that kind of playtime, folks. But that game is good. Gonna be hard picking game of the year at the end of the year. Because right now, the contenders for me, if you're gonna pick it from early in the year, your contenders are this game, Witcher 3. Oh, and what was the other one I play all the time that I love? I'd have to put Heroes in there, too. Anyway, there's that. Also, I started playing Ark. Survival Evolved. It's that dinosaur survival game deal. Also on PC. And I hate those kind of games, but that game kind of works for me. It's weird. Didn't expect that. I usually hate those. I've talked about it on the show. No one ever finishes their survival games. They're always early access. This one is, too. So I guess it's in the same category. But there's something about what I'm doing that I don't mind so much. There's some rough edges. It's definitely in early access. They seem very actively interested in fixing it and working on it. Their options menu is a nightmare. They need a UI specialist, something fierce. Hire somebody who knows how to do all that. But outside of that, though, the game itself is very pretty, very cool. And I don't know, I kind of get into it. We did some live streaming, John and I, and that was fun. I'm going to keep playing that, I think. Oh, and today, so you already know, y'all know, that I am a big fan of the Warhammer 40K universe, right? I'll take 40K over regular Warhammer any day. Not a problem. But anyway, I like all that stuff. So when a new game comes out or something goes on sale, I just jump on it because I just love it. Can't get enough. And I don't even paint the little figurines or go to like comic book gaming store shops and play or anything. Like, I'm not that deep into it, but where I am digging it is in video games. I always have. So, Space Marine, by the way, underrated. What a game that was. Was that 2012? Great game. Loved it. Played the hell out of that. PC, and I had it on Xbox as well. Anyway, Warhammer 40K Regicide got an update. This is the game. I told you guys about it before, but it's basically chess with Warhammer races. Which adds a whole bunch of strategic twists because you have a move mode, and after you move, which is all chess rules, then you have an initiative mode where you can fire guns at things or throw grenades into a group of characters and stuff on the chess map or board, I guess it's called. And I really dig it. And they made a very nice update graphically and otherwise. Very nice. So, yeah, that game continues to be kind of interesting to me. I realize, you know, at the end of the day, it's augmented chess. But dude, who doesn't remember battle chess? And who doesn't want to play battle chess right freaking now? I don't believe you if you lie to me. I know that you're not telling the truth if you don't say yes. All right. Let's do this. Let's get into it. For this Monday, the news begins with after 4.5 million downloads on the 3DS. I can't talk today, dude. Pokemon Shuffle is coming to mobile phones. One would assume Android and iOS, maybe even Windows. I don't know. Are they going to do other stuff too? Wonder about that. Anyway, they said on Monday that the Candy Crush style puzzle game is indeed coming to those platforms and will launch later this year as a free-to-play title. They'll have microtransactions, that's confirmed. And that's no different than the 3DS version that also had microtransactions. What you're going to get is essentially that same game. It's for people who don't own a 3DS or didn't play it there. 4.5 million downloads to date is pretty good, although I would argue that's nowhere near the number of downloads that something like Candy Crush has. I mean, you got to look at that, right? Nintendo has to look at the numbers that these mobile games get. That's got to be what's driving this in the first place. I mean, nobody ever talks about it. They talk about how, you know, it's mobile has weakened their position in the market for portable gaming, but I don't think too many of us have talked about just how much weakening it's done. Elder Scrolls Online, ESO to fans. Something wrong with my screen here. There we go. They lost their creative director this week. He's left and joined the Borderlands studio. That kind of sucks. Creative director Paul Sage left the game and ZeniMax Online Studios. And Matt Fiore will remain on board for the project, so he'll stick around. And I guess currently the creative or the position is being held by Rich Lambert temporarily. Anyway, this guy worked on all kinds of stuff, including The Elder Scrolls Online and Oblivion. You know, one of the better Elder Scrolls games. They say this: we can confirm that Paul left ZeniMax Studios after the launch of The Elder Scrolls Online on console, which just launched, and says he, along with the rest of the team, are very happy with how the game turned out and how it's doing, and we wish him the best in his future endeavors. So it sounds like if there is bad blood, ain't nobody talking about it. I still need to play that, probably. I never did. It's just buy it and then play it now, right? Kind of Guild Wars 2 style. I don't know. Is it improved? Is now the time? Come on, write in. You guys always tell me if I should do these things. Come on. Mario creator. You know who he is. Miyamoto. He's not working on Nintendo's NX console, whatever the heck that is. They've given us precious little on what that is, but he's not working on it. The creator of Mario, Zelda, and many of their iconic franchises. Nothing to do with NX development. When's that been true before? Never. I'm pretty sure he's had his hand in everything they ever made. Even when they were making playing cards or whatever it was before the NES. So this happened in an interview with Forbes. Miyamoto himself said he is shifting his focus to developing games entirely instead of participating in the hardware part of things, as he's done in the past. So I actually see this. It's a bit of link bait, but I think the reasoning is good. Put that guy back where he literally changed the industry more, you know, time and time again. Put him back there. I mean, why not, dude? The guy responsible for probably more, how do you put this? More things in games, like how we think about them, how we play them, how they control, how they, what mechanics they have, how you're rewarded, like all this stuff. You could say he's the man. He's the man. So get him off the hardware, put him back where he belongs in his little cubicle over there, and get him making some video games. How about that? He says, of course I am observing and looking at the hardware, but I'm not actively participating in making decisions on how it's made. They have no plan to fully reveal the hardware until 2016 at the very earliest, by the way. So that's good. I assume this is a good move. This seems like back to basics to me. Right? You're not going to have that guy forever. He's going to retire at some point. He's in his 50s. He still seems like a 10-year-old to me, which is great. That's what you want. But yeah, I'm very excited for whatever the hell that is and the fact that he's back on it. So get excited, everyone, like me.
He enjoys
what's that? Games on the computer. I don't know why that played. Sorry. The Last Guardian for PlayStation 3 would have been a compromise, says Sony. Interesting, eh? Sony's feeling extra pressure to deliver on this game, The Last Guardian. This according to Yoshida, who says, we have to deliver. We have extra pressure, and the team has to, he says. But it's a good pressure. The team is super happy. We like pressure. super happy pressure time. I may have added the last two lines to that quote. I am just saying. Yeah, I guess it's been on. We know it's been in development forever, and they didn't want to half-A it. They think that PS3 was not going to be good enough where it began. So now they'll let it end on PlayStation 4, and you'll finally get the game, and everyone will be happy. So how's that sound? Sounds good to me. Mafia 3 domains have been registered by Take-Two. Do you guys remember Mafia 2? That's on sale, or was on sale, on Steam last week. I almost grabbed it, but thought better of it. Game's kind of old now, but not just that. I think it came out in 2010, but my bigger reason is I have too many other games to play and finish, so that seemed like a big one, so I avoided it. Take-Two Interactive, parent company of publisher 2K Games, has seemingly registered at two domains, or multiple domains, for Mafia 3. Domains are easy to fake with registration, so this could be, you know, we could be getting duped here. But others say, closer to the situation, who aren't using their names, that this is probably true and that a new Mafia game is being made. That second game was pretty well received. I remember it reviewed well. And the PC version looked real nice. I remember that. Anyway, that's good news, man. Suit up. Batman Arkham Knight, the PC patch, the one I talked about earlier, fixed rain effects and more. This, according to this article, which says Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment and developer Rocksteady released the patch and fixes a bug that disabled the game's rain effects and other issues. That's good. I'm going to read a list of the things that supposedly were fixed here. Here are the things that it fixed. Here we go. Fixed a crash that was happening for some users when exiting the game. That hasn't happened to me. Fixed a bug which disabled rain effects and ambient occlusion. Let's see. We are actively looking into fixing other bugs to improve this further. I can totally tell a difference. Corrected an issue that was causing Steam re-download the game when verifying the integrity of the game. Ugh. That's a gnarly one. Again, hasn't happened to me. Fixed a bug that caused the game to crash when turning off motion blur in bmsettings.ini. A future patch will enable this in the graphics settings menu. Well, that's good. Rocksteady is leading our team, this is a quote, of developers and partners we work with on the PC performance issues that players have been encountering. The work is significant. We are making good on progress on improving the performance, but it will take some time to ensure that we get all the fixes in the right places, unquote. So I think they're making good on it. I see this as a good thing. Obviously, it's easy for me to be okay with stuff because it's not happening to me. But I'm happy to hear they're going to take care of people. That's all that really matters. The iPhone 6 Plus and other big phones, any of the big format phones, right? The Note, what's it called? Samsung Galaxy Note stuff. Too big to fit in the Fallout 4 Pip-Boy thing that you can buy, the special edition Pip-Boy thing. This will not take any phones bigger than 4.7 inches. And they said they wanted to stay faithful to the dimensions of the in-game model. Any smartphone larger than the models listed will not be fitting as the in the wearable device, says Bethesda. For these larger devices, our Pip-Boy companion app will still be available, so you'll still get to have the app. But whatever. I already said, people are going to buy that thing. They're going to get the Pip-Boy deal. They're going to get it home. And those with the right size phone, they're going to put it on their wrist once, and then never do it again. Except like a cosplay event or something. You're just not going to, how often are you going to wear that freaking thing? Like hardly ever is the answer, and you know it. Destiny selling emotes. Oh man, that sounds scandalous, does it not? PS4/PC shooter Warframe decided to add them for free on news of that. If those not in the know, Warframe and Destiny are awful a lot alike in terms of their core design. I know people who play Destiny and like it don't like to be told that, but that is the truth. Anyway, they're going to sell a pack of 3 emotes and some in-game items for $20 for the shooter. And people are pissed at that announcement. Are you guys going to do that? Even the Destiny faithful, you want to buy emotes for $20? 3 of them? Oh, my Lord. That seems gnarly to me. Ugh. For $20. I mean, I do it for 5. Okay, maybe we have a deal. 20? You can buy a lot of stuff. You can buy whole games for $20, man. I think you can buy Destiny on sale for $20. That's ridiculous. I think they've gone a little too far. Fallout fan who wanted to send in the 2,000 bottle caps to Bethesda to get their free Fallout 4. Well, they're letting them do it in our final news note. This guy shipped more than 2,000 bottle caps to Bethesda already. He already did it. And he'll be receiving his free copy of Fallout 4 upon release, just as he wished. In the new Reddit post, this guy revealed that Bethesda community lead Matt Grandstaff had been in touch to say he'd be getting a copy of the game in November. They also went through pains to express that because he was first with this and unique, that that's why they're doing this. It's a special one-off. Do not start sending us all your bottle caps because we're not doing any more than just one of these. Which, you know, they had to say that, right? Because then they're in trouble if they don't. All right, sidle on up to the bar and listen to some phone calls, okay? These come to us at 801-471-0462. 801-471-0462. We're doing all calls today because I have three. You can also send your emails with attachments if you want to boopshow@gmail.com. Our first call goes like this.
Hey, Scott. This is Scott from Georgia. I just wanted to call and clear up some maybe misconceptions you had about the Xbone E3 stuff. With the backwards compatibility, you can just pop a disc in, and it'll play if it's one of the supported games. But not that exciting, though. Another not that exciting thing, the Oculus will just natively work with the Xbone, and you can, but it's just like a theater mode. So it's just you sitting in a fake room playing a fake TV in front of you. You know, they showed a little Forza demo of a guy looking around a weird empty room and playing Forza on his TV, but he's wearing an Oculus. Anyway, love the show, though. I wish you had done some Nintendo coverage, but I know you had an appointment then. But anyway, the Mario Maker thing looks cool.
I agree. The Mario Maker thing looks rad. That's maybe top two or three things at E3 that I actually really want to see. That looked awesome. I love what they're doing with it. So it's not... Look, the theater mode thing's fine, I suppose. What I don't understand is the Oculus requires two USB 3.0 ports at a minimum and some minimum PC specs. The Xbox One doesn't have multiple USB 3 ports. How is it going to do that? That's something nobody's addressed. I don't get that. It's not a special version of the Oculus you're buying. You're buying a straight-up retail Oculus with a controller and the headset in there, and that's it. And the requirements are, you know, on the PC, it's like GTX 980 for good performance or whatever, and two USB 3.0 ports. So what are they doing on the Xbox One? Those are not USB 3.0 in that thing that I know of. I thought I had that right. But you make a good point. Yeah, they're going to do some stuff, but that's not the same. That's not a VR solution for Xbox One. I just want there to be one. That's all. I'm not slamming them saying, oh, that's lame. I'm saying, where is your VR plans? And maybe they don't think it's as big a deal as we all think. Maybe HoloLens is where it's at. Maybe we're all going to be surprised. I can't wait to get my hands on that too. I'm stoked about that. For their video game console, they just don't have a big deal happening.
Hey, Scott. Brad from Georgia calling from the Boot Show. And I was just wondering, with the Fallout 4 announcement, I've always loved the Fallout games, post-apocalyptic. Really enjoyed that atmosphere, but I also really enjoyed the Mass Effect feel, the huge space, and just being away from the Earth and do whatever you want. The Halo games kind of strike that with me, too. I enjoy being in space and killing aliens. And killing more aliens and making aliens my bitch. But I'm wondering, what is your favorite game genre as far as that goes? Thanks.
Okay, I'm with you. I like big, expansive space. I would argue, though, that the Mass Effect games never really nailed that. I wish they would have, but it was more like a hub system, right? You go to your little console and say, I want to fly over here, and I'm out of fuel. Oh, no. It never felt like a bunch of connected sort of, mission types, but I never felt like I was in space. Like, the vastness of space was never conveyed very well in Mass Effect. That being said, those are some of my favorite games ever. I think Mass Effect 2 is just simply one of the best video games ever made. But never did I feel like you might in Eve or something where space is a character all its own, you know? It just felt like it was a lot of load screens and stuff to get between planets, and it was never actually much space. But I do love that. What you're talking about, I love. And it's what I love. I'm terrible at it. It's what I love about this Elite Dangerous. Because that feeling of, whoa, this is a big space, and this space station I was just here to request docking access to is huge too, and I've got to fly in there, and man, the ambient sound in there and the music and the whatever, the way my ship moves slowly on an immovable horizon of space is just really awesome. So yeah, I love that too. Basically, my favorite settings for video games are space. I like fantasy games too, so we'll put that in there. Space, fantasy, and then deserts. Give me some more deserts, man. Deserts, right? Like cliffs and stuff and cars to drive in them. Basically, I would just want more Mad Max in my life is what I'm getting at, which is kind of cool.
Hey, Scott. It's Nate from Northern Illinois again. Just had a quick question. I bought the new Batman game. Awesome. But in the, just at random, it looks like on the top right corner, you can hear like the thugs talking, and it gives you direction with the arrow and then a distance. But then it goes away real quick. Are those like little tiny side quests, or what the heck are those things?
They are entirely side quests and side missions and optional things. They're kind of like in GTA when somebody's yelling on the street going, "Help, help, the guy took my purse," and you can stop and go solve that crime real quick. Run the guy down, get the purse back, whatever. It's like that. They've been in since City. I want to say that Asylum didn't have that so much, unless someone can remind me different. But I don't think Asylum had too much in the way of that, like proximity mission stuff. But yeah, that is how it works, and you're supposed to quickly hone in on that and keep your kind of forward motion toward where the sound is coming from and then find it and then solve it. I don't hardly ever do those because I find them very distracting. It's a bit like the Riddler stuff. I don't do the Riddler stuff until later. Like when I beat the game, story-wise, I'll go back and clean up all the Riddler crap, but I don't want to do it while I'm doing it. It's just distracting. It's like, I'm over here to save lady number one. Why don't you also try to unlock this glowing, rotating question mark for no reason? No, I'll do that later. Thank you. Those are your emails. Thanks for sending them in. Not emails, your calls. You guys are awesome. Man, I love that stuff. Time to pull the cord and bail. That's the end of the show. Thank you all for being here. Frogpants.com/boop is our website. Boopshow@gmail.com. Email us 801-471-0462. Find me on Twitter at Boopshow and at Scott Johnson. And if you are interested at all in my now almost 15-year-old webcomic at myextralife.com, if that's a thing you've enjoyed in the past, oh, do I have news for you. Today we launched a Kickstarter for a definitive edition book version of the comic. All the best stuff in one book, including guest artists, some cool unlockables, bonus sketches, a bunch of other crap. Plus the comics themselves, plus an amazing cover that was created by Howard Porter, who works for DC and Marvel, and a foreword by Jerry Conway, one of the great writers in comics and creators. Guy invented the Punisher, you guys. That Jerry Conway. More details about that over at myextralife.com/book. myextralife.com/book. All right. If that's up your alley, great. Hey, and if not, thanks for all your support at Patreon, patreon.com/frogpants. All right, that's going to do it. I have a remix. It's a Pac-Man dubstep remix. I think it's kind of cool. I'm not even a big fan of dubstep, but there's something about this. Maybe it's the Pac-Man lover in me, you know, I don't know. I like the Pac-Man, so we're playing it now. Tough poo if you don't want to hear it. We'll be back Thursday, normal Thursday, I think. There was some, 4th of July weekend's coming up, but that's fine. Thursday is still a show, so I'll be here, and if I miss it, I'm sure you'll let me know, but I won't. Okay? It'll be here. Calm down. That's going to do it. Thank you all so much. and we'll see you then. Network. Get more at frogpants.com.